I am joined by voice of the Argos, Will Kennedy. Will, hopefully everything is going all right. How are things going?
I'm still recovering, Drew. It's jet lag after you travel to Bolivar, right. Missouri, and spend, 30 hours in a van over the weekend. But, we come back with a win, and that's all that really matters. And, Argos are 2-0.
Yeah, that is right. And Pee Wee had another good – he only threw 11 passes. I mean, that's all the Argos needed. I mean, they came out and they showcased their strength early on. What was the biggest takeaway from this win? Another large win, but with that comes a 2-0 record, as you said, and they move up to number 6 in the polls.
Yeah, really kind of very similar in a lot of ways to the Warner game in week 1. And you do have to take the opposition into account and kind of take everything with a grain of salt. But, the team goes in and handles the business the way you would like for them to handle it, being the favorite, being on the road in this case and making a long trip, and really thoroughly dominated the first half. They were up 28-0 at halftime. Saw a little bit of what maybe Southwest Baptist could be offensively. They had a couple good drives in the second half, but this Argo team really dominated offensively, especially along the offensive line. You mentioned that Pee Wee Jarrett didn't have to do a whole lot, didn't have to throw a whole lot. Shamari Mason, probably the standout offensive star in the game, running for 150-plus yards and catching passes for about 50. So he looked outstanding, looked like Showtime the way that you would think that he would look. And I thought the defense, they first half they took care of the line of scrimmage, got off the field on third downs. Second half we saw them do what they did last year a lot, which is force turnovers. Force interceptions. We had a pick six for Willie Jordan on his birthday. It was a complete team effort. It really was. And, including the fact that Griffin Serra is the GSC special teams player of the week because he kicked a ton of extra points.
We talk all the time about, the three levels to the game, the offense, the defense, the special teams, and seem to be a check in the box for all of those things. But how important do you think Griffin Serra could be down the stretch for these games? I mean, he's got a good leg on him. I think he was hitting from at least 50 during a lot of those practices. What can he potentially bring as a confidence boost to the team, knowing you can go to a guy who is able to knock down some clutch field goals?
I think it allows you, and allows Coach Shinnick and the offensive coach, Rudy Carlton, the offensive coordinator, it allows you to be very aggressive in your play calling from about the 35 on in, because you kind of feel like, hey, we get to about the 35, about 50 yards and in, we've got 3 points with Griffin Serra. So we can roll the dice a little bit, get aggressive, get creative in some circumstances. And that just takes a lot of pressure off your offense. You don't feel like we've got to get it down there. We've got to punch it in for a touchdown all the time. So, and you see that. I mean, this offense is built that way anyways. If they'll, first and 10, they'll throw it deep downfield. Second and 10, they'll throw it again deep downfield. They don't have to because they obviously have a great running game and they're able to do more of that now. But we saw some big plays. It wasn't Caden Leggett like it was in week 1. Dave Durden was back. He had a touchdown catch. Larry Rembert made a beautiful catch on his touchdown. Big third down play. Pee Wee fires one. Larry goes up full extension, grabs it, somehow keeps his feet and makes it into the end zone before he kind of rolls over. So, beautiful catch and throw there. They're doing it every way. And you mentioned, it sounds weird to say, well, he only threw it 11 times. This is the guy who was the JUCO, number one JUCO quarterback coming out.
Yeah.
And he's not having to do, he's not having to air it out. He's only throwing, averaging about 15 attempts per game. And I'm sure that will go up as the competition gets a little bit better. But right now, this offense seems to kind of be built around, hey, we can run this football down your throat, and we can throw it down the field if we want to.
Well, yeah, and to that point is that, he's only thrown it. He only threw it 11 times, but he threw for 189 yards. I mean, he's throwing, and he's got a cannon, as we saw in the game against Penn Air. And as all of our listeners heard as well over the course of this past weekend, I mean, he's got an arm that can span a lot of field, and he can put it on the money. And I think that's another thing, too, you mentioned, Larry Rembert, you didn't see Caden Leggett as much, but you get Shamari Mason in the passing game. You get David Durden back. You have Larry Rembert, of course, and some of the other guys who are capable of making plays. I mean, the wide receiver room is really deep, and it seems like they've got a lot of confidence, at least through these first couple of games, that if somebody were to go down, hopefully that doesn't happen, but we've got a number of different guys that can hurt you in different ways, and that makes it tough on the opposition to guard all two or three wide receivers and Shamari Mason and Ravion Hargrove as well.
We haven't even seen Jared Smith yet, who was sensational as a freshman, true freshman last year, had a big season with a talented group of wide receivers last year. Jared should be back for the Delta State game coming up on the 24th. So, yeah, you're right, that receiver room is super deep. And then I think, you know, it's interesting to watch this offense kind of develop, because last week in the Warner game, they came out and ran the ball first, then threw it deep later. First play from scrimmage against Southwest Baptist, they tried to chunk it deep down the field. It didn't work out. So then they went on a 9-play drive and just ran the ball down their throat with Shamari. So, you know, you're starting to see this offense develop in a little different way than it did last year when Austin Reed was the quarterback.
Is there anything, and you mentioned the Delta State game again, it's family weekend, the bye week this week, and then you're back at Penn Air Field next week. Is there anything that you think ought to be a focus of improvement going into this bye week, or is it more just take a look at the tape, see what Delta State does, and then just continue to hopefully stay healthy over the course of practice over the next week and a half?
Yeah, it really is. I mean, coach is going to work. I mean, he's not going to let him. I think from what the players are telling me today, it's not like a bye week where you get to go home for the weekend. He's going to make them work on Saturday to kind of keep them in that game rhythm.
There you go.
You know, this is not the choice before the season started to say, hey, let's have a bye in week three. It just worked out that way. I think it works out fairly well coming off this really long trip to Southwest Baptist and before you get into GSC play. But you'll get to sit and watch this week. Gives them some extra time to work on Delta State. That's probably bad for Delta State that Coach Shinnick gets 2 weeks to game plan for them. But Delta's been good to start the season. They beat Kentucky State and McKendree. They're 2-0. We'll see what they do this weekend. And there's some other big games in the GSC this weekend. So you start to get a feel for the rest of the competition in the conference and get ready for that first, you know, home game to kick off the GSC schedule, which is always tough.
How about Valdosta State losing to Virginia Union, too? They plummet from third, I think, in the poll to 15th?
Yeah, that was a shock game. I mean, we were kind of standing around in Missouri after the game, just kind of Coach Shinnick and some others like, wow, did that really happen? Did we see that? Virginia Union, good team, but not the traditional power. And Valdosta, you know, maybe you look now and say, okay, Kaiser gave them a game, and they pulled that one out in the end. Then we saw Mississippi College beat Kaiser fairly handily over the weekend. So then you start kind of going, okay, let's, you know, we'll put these things together. I think, you know, Valdosta is still trying to work through a coaching change and some other changes with their program. It's going to be a big game this weekend. Drew, West Al and West Georgia getting together. West Georgia's in the top 10 with us. West Al's receiving votes this week. They have won their first two games. So there's a lot going on this weekend, even though the Argos won't be playing.
Yeah, there definitely is. And we look forward to, of course, following all of it. And we'll talk again next week, previewing some more of that game against Delta State. I do want to jump real quick to the volleyball team. Some bumps and bruises a little bit. They went 2-1 over the course of the weekend for the UWF Invitational. Three ladies on the all-tournament team in Avery Rogers, Jenna Zidlow, and Taylor Van Ekeren. Is this a good thing, Will, that you think they're going through some bumps and bruises ahead of getting into more GSC play and as they want to try to get to that D2 national championship?
Well, it was another ranked team they lost to. They won the first two games in the tournament, the walk-ons tournament over the weekend, and then, you know, lost to Lewis, and that's another top opponent. So this is what you do, right? Good coaches test their teams, especially when they think their teams are going to be good against the best competition, and that's what going out to Denver and hosting the tournaments here has done, is gotten them in a position where they're seeing some of the best teams in the country. They open up GSC play tonight. In fact, I'm walking right over there now to get to see them play Valdosta. And it's a cool little event, Drew. If anybody's out there and wants to come catch some college volleyball, they're going to do what's called a silent set. The first 8 points of the first set, it's going to be silent in the gym, in the field house, because Taylor Van Ekeren, who you mentioned, who's our all-time leader in sets, is the team leader, is the captain. She's hearing impaired, and she saw some, I think, Nebraska do this, and with one of their players. It's going to be kind of a cool moment to raise awareness for hearing impaired.
Awesome.
And the deaf as well.
Awesome. Yeah, that's always spectacular when you have those nights that are dedicated in a cool way. And I'm sure once that ninth point is scored, everybody's going to go absolutely bonkers because it's going to be quiet for the whole time. So there's a good reason to show up for that one, for sure.
No, it's going to be really cool once the noise can get kicked in. Everybody will jump on that. But, it does. You don't want to lose. You never want to lose. But these losses early in the season, that you take into account the competition and you look forward to, you know, now it's the GSC season. Now you're playing conference opponents night in and night out. And they ran the table last year, both in the regular season and the tournament. So look for this team to really focus in coming off that loss. Look for a big win tonight. I think they've got two or three this week. And they'll keep it going. Soccer, same kind of thing. They opened up conference play last weekend, split games on the road at Alabama Huntsville and West Al, and they're coming, you know, back hungry and looking to get some wins here at home.
Do also want to shout out D'Anthony Bell. He did get in action over the weekend, got a solo tackle and a first win as a pro. So always really cool to see D'Anthony Bell getting onto the 53-man roster, first UWF player to do that, and really, really cool for us here in the Pensacola area to be able to see that as well. Will, appreciate the time as always. You have a good week. I'm sure that'll give you some time to rest the good old voice a little bit, not having to broadcast on Saturday. We'll talk to you next week and talk some more about Delta State.
Yeah, ready for Delta, and it'll be here before you know it. Thanks, Drew.